Hi, this is Todd Friel, Executive Director of Fortis Institute. Perhaps you've noticed Christians aren't looked upon as favorably as we once were, and we're determined to not retreat in the face of persecution, taunting, legislation that makes life harder for Christians to speak the Bible. I'd like to invite you to join us in our spring matching gift campaign, No Retreat. We are determined to stand firm, and we are inviting you to stand firm with us. We will continue to make as many and more resources as we currently do because we are determined to see our King exalted. And if that matches your heartbeat, would you kindly consider joining us as a gospel partner? Your gift is doubled right now. You can learn more and join us at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If the God of the Bible really exists, I would go gladly to hell. And anybody happy to go to heaven to worship such a creature is morally bankrupt.
It is because God's wrath is real that his mercy is relevant. Unless you have a real wrath, the biblical concepts of mercy and of grace are robbed of their meaning.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's Witness Wednesday at Georgia Tech. Hey, young man. While you're walking that way, can I talk to you on the radio?
Okay.
What are you studying?
Architecture.
Cool. All right, I'm going to throw something at you, my architecture friend. There's a building that's being built right there.
I'm aware.
Yep. Who designed that bad boy?
I don't know.
Do you think that anybody was involved in the design?
I'm pretty sure someone was.
An architect, right?
Well, yes.
How do you know that?
Because architects design a lot of buildings.
Can a building go up like that, that's that sophisticated without an architect?
I don't know. Possibly.
Don't think so. I mean, but ultimately, somebody had to be put in the design.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have any idea where I'm leading you right now?
You're probably leading me to the fact that no architect was involved.
Well, that would be the theory of the Big Bang, that there was no architect involved with the creation of the universe. That's kind of the Big Bang idea, that this just all kind of exploded, and here it is all designed. And to me, it makes about as much sense as saying that building went up without an architect. What do you think? Am I nuts?
I don't know.
So how do you think we got here, dude?
Big Bang.
Really?
Yeah.
That everything just kind of blew up and got organized?
I wouldn't really call it organized.
All right, dude. Thanks for the chat. Appreciate it. Great. Well, now that we've resolved that, I don't know why he's going to school. We don't need architects. You don't think the universe is organized? All right. We need more grants here at the campus. We need to start buying some kids some telescopes. They need to start looking around. It's not organized. How much more does God need to do? What else does he need to provide for any human being to know that he exists besides a universe? The reality is most people never open up their eyes, look around and go, huh, there's got to be somebody behind this. They simply never take the time. But he is calling out to everybody every single day. They're just not listening. Let's see if this young man will listen. Hey, dude. While you're walking, can I walk with you and talk to you on the radio?
Sure.
You up for that? What are you studying here at Georgia Tech?
Biomedical engineering.
Yeeks. All right. I just had a conversation with a kid who's studying to be an architect. All right. And this is what I proposed to him. Just like that building that's going to be the new student center there, there was an architect.
Right.
He hasn't met the architect, but he knows that an architect designed it because it's so intricately designed, it couldn't go up all by itself. And so I reasoned with him that it seems to me the planet that we're on, the trees, the birds, the bees, and you and me, and the stars and the solar system are very organized. There had to be an architect of the universe. And he just flat out disagreed with me. Would you agree or disagree with my logic and thinking?
I'm also going to disagree.
Really? How come?
It seems implausible that there's some sort of creator, some sort of architect.
I would reason with you that it's more implausible that all this stuff got designed without an architect.
It sort of seems more likely, given the scope of the universe, that it all just sort of fell into place by chance.
You think that it all happened by chance?
Yeah.
Okay, let me try a kooky scenario. You and I take a bunch of stuff, okay? Right. Some boards, your sandal, this curtain down here from the fence, and we take that campus directory sign, cut down a tree and take some of those bricks, and we put it in a pile. We put a stick of dynamite underneath it, blow it up, and a house appears.
Right.
How reasonable is that?
Well, trying to compare the formation of, like, the Earth, like, from that little thing is trying to describe the whole, like, economy, basically, with, like, one little supply and demand chart. It's the same reason why everybody's not rich. You can't really describe it that way. In the scope of the universe, impossible is really an empty term, so...
Why?
Because it's so big that the impossible is possible.
So statistically, ultimately because it's so big and time just seems to be so big, it could happen.
What could happen?
The creation and design of the universe.
Yes.
Where did all the stuff come from?
Well, I mean, it's matter.
Yeah, where'd it come from?
It's not really where it came from. It was.
So it's always existed.
Yes, matters. It's always been conserved.
Matter's eternal.
Well, I mean, nothing is really eternal, but it doesn't
something have to be?
Nah.
So where did it come from?
I mean, nobody knows.
Ah! Hey, so you've got faith, too.
Not really, no.
Well, you got faith in the idea that, well, we don't know where it came from, so I'm just believing that it came from somewhere, but I don't know where, and it got all organized.
I believe in science rather than pulling a creator out of the air.
Okay, but we both have faith, though, because I believe in God. You believe in science, so we're both men of faith. It's just the object of our devotion is something completely different.
I suppose, though, it's not really devotion more than it is sort of an occupation, but...
Oh, I'll bet it is a devotion.
Not really. I could take it or leave it.
Okay, let's see if you're willing to leave it. Would you consider yourself to be a good person?
No.
Really? What makes you bad?
Nothing makes me bad, but I mean, good is sort of an open-ended word.
And... Fair enough. Let's try. I'll create the standard, and I think we're going to agree to it for the most part. Lying, I think we'd agree, is a bad thing. Yes?
Okay.
Have you ever told a lie?
Yeah, of course.
All right. Have you ever stolen anything? That's a bad thing.
No.
Really?
Yeah.
You're sure?
Yeah.
Downloading music?
No.
Pens?
Pens?
Pens. No. Something small, insignificant. Coins from your parents? Stole something from a sibling?
Not on purpose.
All right. How's about, let's try gossip.
Gossip?
Have you ever been guilty of gossip? Really? Dude,
no.
Come on. You've never shared a rumor about somebody?
I don't care enough to do that.
Oh, you're an apathetic fella.
Yes, I am.
All right, let's try lust. How's about purity of heart and thought? Have you ever looked at a girl and had sexual desires about her?
Who hasn't?
I wouldn't argue with you. Have you?
Of course.
Okay. So as far as thought life, not all that pure.
I mean, I don't really believe in the whole purity thing. I believe in humans themselves as flawed and aspiring to be... Some ideal of something better just sort of seems irrational.
Okay. But I suspect you strive for that every day. But even so, you said you're a good person, but we've discovered that you're...
I didn't really, but that's okay.
Well, okay.
Based on the definition that you've set up, I suppose.
Definition, right, would be no lying, no stealing, no lusting.
Okay.
And you've violated those principles.
Yeah,
so if that's the standard, that would make you not a good person at all. That would definitively make you a bad person, wouldn't it?
Of course.
Okay.
I suppose.
Here's what I just gave to you, if you didn't recognize it. I tried to give you some of the Ten Commandments, is what
right.
I just shared. Because Jesus said, you thought, well, where did the lust thing come from? Jesus said, if you look at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart.
Okay.
Because God goes deeper than just what we do. It's what we also think.
Okay.
All right? Remember what we're going for here. I'm going to try to see if you're as blasé about holding on to your science as you claim, all right?
Well, I said I could take it or leave it.
All right, let's see. If you died and God judged you for every thought, every word, every deed, everything you've ever done or failed to do, not thanking him for air and food, for being unkind, for not helping when you should have, by lusting and lying, dishonoring your parents, would God see you as an innocent or guilty man?
I mean, I don't know, but I don't really care because when I die, I don't really believe that I'm going to be judged.
I know, but I'm appealing to your conscience right now, the courtroom in your brain that says...
I also find that sort of irrational.
Yeah, well, you might find it irrational, but I suspect you use it an awful lot.
Not really.
Really? So you're a criminal?
No,
no,
but
you abide by your conscience all the
but
time.
But conscience is sort of a subjective term. There is no objective conscience. Yeah. Everybody has their own particular set of morals.
Yeah. I'm not sure that's provable. I think pretty universally we agree
well,
that
God
lying
isn't provable either.
Well, that's a separate subject, but let's just stick with your conscience for a moment. I think you'd agree it's bad to lie, right?
Yeah.
And steal.
Okay.
Okay. Would God see you as innocent or guilty if his standard is the Ten Commandments, which I've just tried to open up for you? Would he see you as innocent or guilty?
Oh, unbelievably innocent.
No, I think you're pulling my leg.
No, that's serious.
Really?
Absolutely.
Why would you say such a thing?
Because I'm the epitome of
good.
Purity.
Uh-huh. Now yes. You're pulling my leg.
No, I'm absolutely serious.
You are?
Yes.
So, dude, innocent or guilty before God?
I don't know. I mean, based on the criteria that you've laid before me, I suppose that would make me guilty.
Okay, so if God is just, should he reward you, take you to heaven, or should he send you to hell?
Well, if he's as merciful as you Christians like to say, he would forgive me and offer me a seat at some sort of divine table of paradise that, even though he's so unfathomably great, we seem to try and to fathom something that's absolutely amazing based on our own human ideals. So I suppose he'd try and do that.
Well, actually, he's trying to do that right now with you.
Right.
Yeah, not when you die, because then it's too late. Court case, you die once, you get judged by God, party's over, books are closed, the verdict gets rendered, and it's all done. But he does offer you mercy today.
Okay, well, when I see God in front of me, I will cross that bridge when I come to it.
You're not concerned about it today?
Not in the slightest.
Honest? Now, I want to make sure, because I don't want to walk away and be troubled tonight thinking maybe you were spoofing with me this time.
No, I'm serious. I don't really care at all.
So this conversation is just sort of more like a distraction in your day.
Yeah, pretty much.
But you're being very polite, and I appreciate that.
All right.
All right, dude. Thanks for the chat.
All right, cool. All right. Have a good day.
You too. Goodbye. It's Witness Wednesday. This is Wretched Radio.
No retreat. That's the name of Fortis Institute's Spring Match campaign, and here's why. The culture we live in right now has made it pretty clear it has very little interest in the true gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're being told to keep our faith quiet in public or to soften what we believe so it goes down easier. Fortis Institute has no intention of doing either one. We exist to advance the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and this spring, we're doing it as loudly and as boldly as we know how. Your gift will help launch two new podcasts. It puts Todd Frill new book, Go Serve Your King, into print through HarperCollins. And it puts the gospel back onto college campuses where it's least welcome and most needed. Our goal is $250,000, and we're asking if you would prayerfully consider helping us get there. You can find out more right now at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke? Or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is exhortation. The spiritual ability to encourage, comfort, and admonish God's people. Whether God's people are oppressed, confused, or in error, God has provided the gift of exhortation to comfort, urge, and correct them. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's Witness Wednesday. This is Wretched Radio. Hey, young man, can I walk with you while you're walking?
Okay.
Can I talk to you on the radio while we're doing that?
Okay.
Cool. What's your first name?
Junior.
Junior?
Yeah.
Really? That's the official name on the birth certificate?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Junior, how come?
Well, I mean, in Jamaica, it's normal to for somebody named Junior.
Oh, okay. So you're from Jamaica. Dude, what is the predominant religion in Jamaica?
Most people know Jamaica, like, for the Rastafarianism.
Yes, sir.
But I think it's Christian religion.
What are you?
I'm a Christian.
Please help me. I've been asking a lot of people that question. Can you tell me how I can become a Christian?
Well, I'm not really definitely a Christian. I'm just
You're maybe a Christian.
I'm just growing up in a Christian home, you know?
So. All right, but it didn't stick to you.
I don't know.
Are you trying to figure it out?
I mean, not really. You know? I mean, I haven't really been trying to... I haven't really thought about it. You know what I mean?
Can you tell me what the main message of Christianity is?
I guess, Jesus is the Savior.
Yeah. What does that mean?
That he's the one who created the earth and people, and you should serve him, I guess.
Okay. What's the Savior part have to do with it?
I guess they're saying that he's the one who's going to come back and redeem the earth of the evil, and get rid of the evil and stuff like that, you know, and claim all the good people.
Claim all the good people?
Yeah.
Are you a good people?
I guess everybody got their own definition of good people.
Well, how's about God's definition? Wouldn't that be the important definition?
Yeah, I mean...
Do you think by his standard you're good?
Yeah, I think I'm a good guy.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm. Have you ever told a lie?
Yeah.
How many?
Huh? I mean, I don't know.
Have you stolen anything in your life?
When I was a kid, yeah.
All right. Have you ever lusted after women?
I guess every straight man do.
No. Have you ever taken God's name in vain?
I think so, too.
Okay, dude, that was 4 commandments that you've broken.
Mm-hmm.
But you said you were a good person.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Well, you seem like a nice fellow, but if I were the judge, I'd say you're not a good person at all. You're a lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer at heart.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, what about you?
Oh, ditto. Yeah.
Ditto. Is it all the same?
Oh, sure.
Okay, so that means...
And I'm older than you, so far more.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, I was an overachiever, so I probably did more at your age.
Okay, so I guess you do the same thing to yourself.
Well, I think what it demonstrates is that the Bible is accurate when it says that everybody breaks God's laws.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, so nobody's not perfect.
And nobody's good.
Yeah, nobody's not perfect.
That's what the Bible says.
Yeah.
In fact, not even not perfect, not even close. Everybody's very wretched. Right? Try this one out for size. I put a computer chip behind your ear that records every thought that goes through your brain for 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
We fly in friends and family from Jamaica and all of your pals here at Georgia Tech, and we put up your thought life onto the big screen for them to see. What would they see that has been running through the brain of Junior?
I don't know. I mean...
It'd be kind of scary, wouldn't it?
I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to perceive or see on a daily basis, and I mean, that's going to allow me to think differently.
Well, here's what I just tried to share with you, friend, is that the Bible says you're not good, the Bible says you're bad, and that God's not going to come back and take the good people. He's going to come back and judge everybody. And if he judges you, he would find you guilty of breaking his laws, just like everybody else. And what he should do with you is not rescue you, but punish you. That's what he should do with you, right?
Well, I mean, obviously it's not that way because, I mean, all of us sin and we're not being punished, you know what I mean?
Well, he is that way, and he will ultimately punish everybody when they die or beforehand, or he'll kill you.
And you're a Christian too?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But see, here's what I'm leading you toward.
Mm-hmm.
We're all in big trouble, left to ourselves. Nobody does good, not one. But there is a God who is good, and he sent his son, Jesus Christ, lived 2,000 years ago, took on human form just like yours, and he was punished by men, beaten by men.
Yes, the thing is, I mean, that's what I'm kind of, I'm kind of a little bit confused about, you know what I mean, because...
Yeah.
I took some classes and I read a lot about history, history of the human race, you know what I mean, and I'm not sure if everything they told me is true, you know what I mean,
because... Well, I'm telling you what the Bible says.
I mean, but who wrote the Bible?
Men who saw Jesus Christ get punished, beaten, and crucified.
That?
Because they wrote it down, and they would have to be wicked and awful to share that lie.
Exactly. I mean, you say people are wicked and awful. You just told me that. And I mean,
right. Some I mean, they'd have
I mean,
to...
yeah, wicked people before you.
Oh, of course. But I don't think the guys who wrote the Bible were.
Why not?
Because they saw something.
How do you know that?
Well, I'll tell you why. All right, this is the biggie, and this is the important part.
Yeah.
Okay, I could. Let's say this guy told me to believe in Oprah Winfrey as the great goddess of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I believe this guy, I might be willing to die for Oprah Winfrey, okay? But here's the difference with Jesus. Eyewitnesses saw Jesus walk this earth, get beaten and crucified, and rise from the dead. And they were willing to die for what they saw. Not for what they were told, but for what they saw. And then they wrote it down so that you could know that there is a Savior, we come back to that Savior business, who took the punishment you deserved so that you could stand before God and be seen as not guilty because of what Jesus did on your behalf to save you.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I heard all of that. I don't know how all of that, but I don't know what happened like 20, 30 years ago. I mean, all I know is like what I see in front of me. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, the way I see life, you know what I mean? It's like you plant a tree and it takes time to grow, you know what I mean? And if you don't give it water, you don't get the nourishment, it doesn't grow. That's the truth, you know what I mean? So that's how I see life.
All right.
You know what I mean? So,
well, I'm telling you the truth.
I don't know that.
Well, I'm trying to persuade you, all right? I'm not going to tase you. I'm just going to tell you with all the earnestness that I can muster. Your conscience tells you, you know God exists.
I'm asking a question. I mean, if you met a total stranger.
But dude, not the way you're talking.
Yeah?
Not the way you're talking. You're not a Christian. A Christian would say he's a bad man who's been forgiven by a good God. That's what a Christian would say.
I'm just saying it's like... I just don't like accepting everything that people just give to me like that. I mean, I like to find those things myself. You know what I mean? And question things. You know what I mean?
But if you're a Christian, you believe what the Bible says.
I was growing up in a Christian home. I corrected that earlier ago. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. I know. But that doesn't make you a Christian.
I guess not entirely.
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
not at all.
No.
Any more than making you... What did your dad do for a living?
Hmm? My dad is a painter.
Okay. Are you a painter?
No.
Okay. You grew up in a painting home. Okay. You, as a grown man, need to determine if this stuff is true or not. Okay?
Now, I'm still in the process of doing
that. I know you are, friend. And I'm trying to plead with you a little bit and maybe rattle you a little bit, okay? The Bible says many people will say to Jesus, Lord, Lord... And he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. You see, you can claim to know Jesus, but the question is, does Jesus know you? Is he your... This is the word you used. Is Jesus your Savior? Okay? You need a Savior like the rest of us. Your conscience tells you you've broken the laws. You need to have them forgiven. You can't work off your crimes. Jesus, the perfect God-man, was beaten, crucified on your behalf, that God might look at you through the work of Jesus Christ and see you as not guilty because of what Jesus did. Your badness put on Jesus. His goodness credited to your account. That's the gospel. Now you must respond to that gospel. You can reject it if you choose. But if you realize listening to your conscience, that is right. That is the truth.
It's not rejecting it. I mean, it's just that I've been taught to... not just take what somebody threw at me.
I understand.
Go and find out for myself.
But
so
know
it's
this.
Not rejecting, you know?
Until you bend the knee, you are rejecting it.
No, I'm not rejecting.
So not rejecting. Have you repented and put your trust in Jesus and Him alone?
That's what I'm saying. I'm still searching. So
okay.
If I'm still searching,
okay.
I can't make any final decision.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, then you're not a Christian yet.
Huh?
You're not a Christian yet.
Exactly. I'm still searching.
Fair enough.
I'm still searching.
I can live with that.
Yeah.
But don't think that you're a Christian just because you kind of think you are.
I mean, as I said, I grew up in a Christian home. I kind of corrected that, you know?
Yeah, I understand.
Mean,
okay,
yeah.
Fair enough.
So I guess I'm not entirely a Christian yet, but, I mean, Christianity teachings have a lot of good things, you know what I mean? Be kind, I mean, all those stuff are, like, good things, you know? So I adopt those stuff, you know what I mean? So,
yeah. But the problem is we don't do what we've been told.
We're human beings, you know? We're not perfect.
I know. That's our problem. Exactly.
Yeah.
Dude, if it starts to shake you up, your conscience starts screaming, you are in big trouble. Think about what Jesus did for you, and that should cause you to repent, turn from your sins, and put your trust in Him.
Well, I mean, I'm not a sinful person. I wouldn't say I'm a sinful person.
Well, we just discovered you are, dude.
I mean, I say I lied before like you did.
That makes you a sinner.
Exactly, and you too, and you're a Christian, so...
But I'm a forgiven sinner, and you're not.
Why not? Why is not forgiving me?
Because you've got to repent and trust Jesus.
No, I don't believe that.
Well, that's what he said.
But that doesn't make no sense.
Okay, but he's the only one who died to forgive you of your sins.
The thing is, if God has the power to control everybody, I mean, that's what I've been told. And if he allow us to live by our free will, because he know that's the only way he can get real truth, is to for us to like come to our own sincerity, you know what I mean? To make our own decision and say that is what we want. That's real truth to me. You know
well, I mean? I'm telling you what Jesus said.
No, yeah, I mean...
He said he's the way, the truth, and the life. Yeah, he wrote it down. Yeah, he did.
I mean, you got to give his number to call him because, I mean... I read the Bible. I mean, I read the Bible like almost every day.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, my favorite chapter is like Proverbs because I teach.
Okay, let me encourage you to read a different book.
What?
Open up the book of Romans. Okay. Proverbs are sweet, but you haven't been keeping the Proverbs either. Open the book of Romans and give that a go. All right. See ya, Junior.
All right, man.
It was a pleasure.
Okay.
Goodbye. Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. The state of Tennessee just made history as the Jackson-Madison County School Board voted unanimously to approve Union Academy as the first full-blown religious charter school in the country. The Alliance Defending Freedom's Mark Lippelman praised the board for refusing to discriminate based on the school's religious character. Meanwhile, in California, parents at Canyon Hills Junior High actually protested a middle school assembly celebrating America's 250th birthday. The event included the Pledge of Allegiance, the National Anthem, and trivia about the American Revolution. One grandparent told reporters she was concerned about, quote, the views of Turning Point USA and the Heritage Foundation. So now teaching kids about founding documents is a partisan conspiracy. Yeah, at least in this country, it seems to be. Oklahoma Governor Kevin Stitt signed two major bills recently. The first makes trafficking abortion pills a felony punishable by up to 10 years in prison and a $100,000 fine. Stitt also signed the Right to Raise Act, which protects adoptive and foster parents from being disqualified just because they refuse to embrace LGBT ideology with the kids in their care. Common sense being written into law. In the consumer space, a company called Radiant Mobile launched recently as the first cell phone carrier that blocks pornography, LGBT content, and violent material at the network level. Founder Paul Fisher says he has every right to create what he calls a Jesus-centric environment for families. The company's chief operating officer pointed to a recent survey finding 67% of pastors have a personal history with pornography. Let that one sit with you for a second, if you will. Attorney General Ken Paxton has opened an investigation into Drone Nerds and Anzu Robotics, two companies linked to the Chinese Communist Party. Paxton's office says the firms misrepresented their security measures while quietly enabling data collection that could end up in the hands of Beijing. Translation, your drone might be working for somebody else. And across the pond, the Scottish Greens just sent an Indian PhD student named Q Manavian to a 5-year term in the Scottish Parliament. He identifies as non-binary, holds a temporary student visa, and he's already asking colleagues to chip in £2,000 to renew it. Yeah, that's par for the course. And finally, the Retail Council of Canada says grocery theft is approaching $10 billion per year, and much of it driven by organized Eastern European crime rings working the self-checkout aisles. In one case, a man got caught swapping $97 cans of baby formula for items priced under a dollar. Ooh, so much for sorry, eh? And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. Both can be done at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Washed away, not by our goodness, but by his. But we have got to respond to that good news in humility. You're not a good man. You're a bad man. Just like me, just like this, just like all of us, just like the Bible says. And when you're honest with yourself, you've maybe been trying really hard. You know your heart and what's going on in your head. And you might not be Osama bin Laden, but you've had plenty of lusting, lying, cheating, stealing, dishonoring your parents. And if nothing else, friend, think of all the times that you have breathed air in this conversation and didn't thank God for it. We're little rebels at heart that God wants to save so that he can point to us for all eternity and say, this is how good I am. Instead of sending him to hell, I saved him and forgave all of his sins. And he wants to turn you into the image of his son, Jesus, so that he can point to you and say, this is how good I am. I should have crushed him like a bug, but instead I swept down and saved him. Dude, that's the good news of the gospel. And I know that's a little different than what you've grown up hearing, perhaps, in the Roman Catholic Church. I'll be leaving your company now, okay?
Okay.
I have just offered you complete forgiveness of sins and everlasting life based on what Jesus Christ has done for you. It doesn't come from me, it comes from him. I'm simply telling you, the Bible makes it so clear that if you do not respond in complete humility, Jesus said that unless a man is born again, he will not see the kingdom of God. And what he was telling Nicodemus in John chapter 3 is, you've got to die to yourself. You don't kill yourself by jumping off a building. You die. And the way you die, Paul said, Romans 7, the law, the Ten Commandments, should kill you. Jesus, do you remember the Sermon on the Mount when he got up and he said those Beatitudes and those nice statements? They weren't nice statements. They were severe statements. Blessed are those who are broken in spirit, for they will see the kingdom of God. It means the individual who is completely broken, who is entirely undone, dead to self, no longer striving to attain heaven. He has forsaken his good works and cried out to God for mercy. Jesus said, you've heard it said of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. I say, if you look with lust, you've committed adultery in the heart. If you have ever been angry with a guy who's an idiot or a moron, the Bible says you're a murderer at heart. That should kill you. It should just bring you to the point where you go, God, I am so sorry. I have just been so wicked. Please forgive me. Have mercy on me. Save me. And you put your trust in Jesus, and he will. When you die to yourself, he will make you alive again in him, and he will save you. And dude, you'll stop ceasing, and you'll stop striving, and you'll no longer have a guilty conscience because it will be cleansed. And you will then desire to live a life of righteousness, not to earn heaven, but because heaven has been earned for you. Huge difference. You will be good, not for goodness sake or to be rewarded to get to heaven, but you will be good because the good God, Jesus Christ, has died to save you. Okay? Huge difference. One is works. Your system right now is works. I'm telling you, like Jesus said, cease striving. If you are tired of working, rest in him and his works, and then live a life in response to that. That's the good news of the gospel, and it's completely different than what you've been living by. Mm-hmm. So here's what we got, dude, and I'll leave you with this. If you died now, trying to get to heaven by yourself, you will have failed. Okay? God calls out to you this day. Repent of your good works. Repent of your striving to please him. Humble yourself. And he says when you do that, he will lift you up in due time. Okay? Consider my words very carefully. I'm either right or wrong. Okay? I'm not here to sign you up for a cult or in anything else. I'm not going to taser you. I'm walking away. I would plead with your conscience, that thing inside of your brain that says, I haven't been good, I've been bad. Jesus says, I know. In fact, you're worse than you think. But I'm so good, I will save even you. He wants to save you. He wants to rescue you. Okay? Mm-hmm. Repent and trust in him. All right? That's all I got for you today, dude.
All right. Thank you.
All right. See you.
Thank you.
You're a gentleman. I appreciate it. Goodbye.
Have a nice day.
Goodbye. Well, part of me wonders who you are right now. I know how radio works. I know how this goes. You're tripping around on your radio. You put the scan on and you didn't happen to be under a bridge, and look at that, we showed up. Maybe, just maybe, you heard something of yourself in this young man. You've been trying, and you have been trying. But there's something inside of you, I hope that will agree, it hasn't been enough. It just has not made my conscience feel any better. then I would plead with you as earnestly and as gently, perhaps, as I can, you have got to simply lose the self-righteousness. You need to cease striving, trying to earn, trying to get yourself there, trying to present yourself as the acceptable gift to God, because you're not. The only acceptable gift is Jesus, and you must repent and put your trust in Him, and then you will be acceptable to God based on what He has done despite what you have done. Today is the day of salvation. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.